Well, greetings, friends. I'd like to address this message today to all true ministers of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 6, we see the story of Stephen, a deacon whom God used to do a powerful work in witness. Verse 8 of chapter 6 states that Stephen was full of faith and power and did great wonders and signs among the people. So here was a man of God, full of faith in God's Holy Spirit. That's from verse 10. However, there arose some religious leaders or ministers of that day against what Stephen believed and taught. And as verse 9 states, they had a dispute with Stephen. But it states in verse 10 that they were not able to resist or refute what he spoke, because he was full of wisdom and God's Spirit. So what did these religious leaders or ministers do? They obviously conspired against Stephen, verses 12 through 13, and had him brought up before a council or tribunal. And what happened next? Stephen gives one of the most powerful sermons recorded in God's Word. In chapter 7, beginning in verse 2 on through verse 50, is a wonderful sermon which covers the history of these people. It's like Mr. Armstrong used to give us history and go back to our origins. But Stephen concludes his sermon in verse 51 through 53 with a stern correction and warning. And verse 53 shows that these were indeed people who had received the law. And how was this sermon and correction received? We know the story. They killed Stephen. The time we're living in today is really no different. God's ministers, whether they realize it or not, have been disputing with God. The evidence is all around us. God's church today is shattered into hundreds and thousands of pieces. Why? In a nutshell, it's because we all lost faith. We lost faith in what God Himself revealed to us through His servant, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. If we still had faith, then we would still be holding on to and believing what God taught us through Mr. Armstrong. Instead, what do we see? The church has become a pathetic spiritual swamp of lies, men's ideas, men's personal agendas, everyone preaching their own version of the gospel, and division upon division, all because we lost faith in what God taught us. No wonder Christ asked the question, "Will the Son of Man find faith when He comes?" Christ also teaches us that a house divided cannot stand, and indeed it is not standing today. The body of Christ still lives, but they are scattered and few. There are indeed many churches of God, quote unquote, that say that they are the church of God. Can anyone be right, or are they all wrong? Indeed, the Bible has much to say about this time now. Ezekiel 34 and Jeremiah 23 are good places to start. But there's much more. The Bible, as Mr. Armstrong taught us, is complete for us today, and it speaks loud and clear to us today if we will listen. I know full well that the message of this message will not be well received by God's ministers, wherever they are. But this is not a popularity contest. We are living in spiritually perilous and dark times, yet the vast majority of God's people are oblivious to this, including the ministry. And God puts the responsibility on His ministers to prevent this kind of thing from happening to begin with. Soon the Great Tribulation will begin, and soon God's two witnesses will be on the scene with a powerful message to repent and to not take the mark of the beast. Will God's people even recognize them? They will not be recognized by how they look or who they are, but rather by what they say and do. Mr. Armstrong made it clear throughout the early to mid-1980s that he was the Elijah to come and restore all things, Matthew 17, verse 11. After this restoring took place and the commission of taking the gospel to the world was completed, God allowed Mr. Armstrong to die. Why? So, as the scripture says, the end would come. And it did. The end of the Philadelphia era occurred, and the final or last or end era of Laodicea began. And for what reason? To test our faith, so God would know who would listen to and have faith in and believe what His Son's last command to the Philadelphia era was, to hold fast to what you have so that no man take your crown. Today, We can see that very few have heeded that command. We see God's people being led astray in many different directions from what God taught us during the Philadelphia era. It's time to wake up and repent and return to the plumb line that God laid in the hands of his end times Zerubbabel. Time is running out on all of us, and especially for God's ministry. You all know well, or should know, the serious responsibility that God puts on his true ministers. To cause or to allow even one of his sheep to go astray from his truth will result in grave consequences for the minister or ministers responsible. And that is exactly what has happened today in virtually every branch or splinter or church of God, so to speak, that has branched off of what was once the worldwide church of God. It's time to wake up and realize that the true gospel has been preached to all the world as a witness under the leadership of God's apostle, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, and that Matthew 24, verse 14 is now fulfilled prophecy. It's time to wake up, realize that as Mr. Armstrong taught us, it was the apostle's job to take that gospel message to the world, and that he also said that no one would take his place in this job. It's time to wake up and repent of petty differences between all of these splinters of what was once a united church and return to that foundation which was laid by God's end-time servant. It's time to wake up and anoint our eyes so that we may see that spiritually we are sick, we are blind and miserable and naked and don't even realize it. It's time to wake up and repent of the Laodicean condition and attitude which is, let me decide what is right and wrong, and let me decide what God's work should be. It's time to repent of our self-righteousness and huge egos and return to what was restored through God's end-time apostle. It's time to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and return to the true way that he so wonderfully and gracefully showed us for over 50 years in the Philadelphia era. It's time to stand up and contend for the faith once delivered, Jude 3. And that faith and belief was once delivered to us here in the end time by God through his apostle. Who is doing this today? There is no strong leadership like we had under Mr. Armstrong. He would not compromise one iota with God's law. Today there is compromise everywhere in the churches of God. Who is going to defend the standard that God set for his people? It's time to do this or we will lose our physical and perhaps even eternal lives. God gave us the knowledge we need. It is our responsibility to do what we will with it. Many have already squandered it. But God is a merciful God, but he also will not wait forever. He has a timetable, and prophecy will continue to be fulfilled. This final era will not last much longer. There will be a time in the approximate immediate future when things in this world will suddenly change. What will we do then? So where are we today in prophecy? Where are we today in this Laodicean era? This is where we find ourselves today, going on 21 years since God's end time Elijah died. And here's the scripture. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but they did to him whatever they wished. That's Matthew 17 and verse 12. Yes, he, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, came and restored all things. Or God did that through him. And he even said that he did that and that he fulfilled the Elijah office. But we did not know him. We thought we did, but we did not. He said that we did not get it. And he was absolutely right. So as a result, just as the scripture says, we did to him whatever we wished. We watered down and allowed the watering down of the precious things that were restored. We did whatever we wished to him by allowing the church to be divided into many factions or groups, and by allowing many different ideas to spring forth as to what God's work should be and how it should be done. We did whatever we wished to him by changing or doing away with vital doctrines that were given to us through him by Jesus Christ himself. We did whatever we wished to him by allowing men to speak out against him as they endeavor to show their spiritual superiority and scholarly aptitude while belittling what God taught us through him. Shame on all of us. We lost faith. What we have done collectively as God's church is no less than large-scale spiritual adultery. We are in dire need of true repentance. We should have been at the stage of the bride preparing herself for the marriage to the Lamb. Is the bride ready? What do you think? Is Christ going to come to a divided fiancé? In other words, a bride with multiple personalities, multiple gospels, and ways of keeping God's law? Absolutely not. Christ says he has only the one church and that it would not die. What we fail to see is that, in God's eyes, we are all still his church, although most of us call ourselves by many different names now. We are all divided, but we are not supposed to be divided. There are some offshoots today or groups that say that they are the true church that Christ will return to. Is this true? If that was the case, then that would mean that all of the other thousands of scattered brethren or members are no longer God's people. Did God say this? Of course not. You will not find that in his word. If Christ can't or will not come to his church until we are again united, then what will it take to again reunite his church? We as spiritual Israelites are indeed just as hard-headed as our forefathers, the physical Israelites. It will take nothing short of a miracle to begin to wake up the people of God. And that miracle is coming in the form of the prophesied Great Tribulation and the prophesied testimony of God's two witnesses. Through them, God will again show the way for those with a humble heart and a repentant attitude. It would behoove us all to take a closer look at a prayer by the prophet Daniel. It was a prayer of repentance. And when you look closely at this prayer and apply it spiritually today, it is indeed a wake-up call for all of us. I can find no better way to end this message, this brief message, than by stating what is said here in Daniel chapter 9, verses 4 through 19. And it says, beginning in verse 4, "And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments." See, that's referring to God's people who keep his commandments. Verse 5, "We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments." That's what's happened here in the Laodicean era, brethren, through all of us. Verse 6, "Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and to our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land." That was fulfilled by Mr. Armstrong. Verse 7, "O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." So you remember Jerusalem is also a type of the church. "And all Israel, those near and those far off, and all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you." Verse 8, "O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you." Verse 9, "To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him." Verse 10, "We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets." See, Mr. Armstrong showed us the way, or God showed us through Mr. Armstrong how to worship the true God. He showed us the way to the true God. Verse 11, "Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as to not obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him." And that is happening right now, brethren. There's a famine of the word of the Lord, and it's going to get worse because the tribulation is nigh. Verse 12, "He has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster." See, talking about the tribulation that's coming. "For under the whole heaven, such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem." See, there's been nothing in the history of any church has ever happened to what has happened to God's church here in the end time since the death of Mr. Armstrong. Have you ever seen anything flipped upside down to the degree that has happened to the worldwide Church of God in the last 21 years. It's unprecedented in the history of any church, especially God's church. Verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. See, a return to the truth. Verse 14, therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. See, God sent his voice here in the end time. There was a voice crying out in this wilderness of spiritual confusion of this world, and it was Herbert W. Armstrong. That was the voice of God. Verse 16, O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. See what we've become? Hypocrisy. Verse 17, now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary. That's his church. But look at the state it's in, which is desolate. See, God's church is desolate today, brethren. Verse 18, O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations in the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. That's referring to us, brethren. That message is to God's people today. So it's time to repent and to return to that plumb line. And it has got to begin with the ministry of Jesus Christ. Because Scripture says that they've all gone astray. And Christ says in his own word there in Ezekiel 34 and Jeremiah 23, there is no shepherd. There is no shepherd. So that's why he says in John 10 that I am the good shepherd. That's who we need to turn to and repent.